Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. What's up? I'm Bart Winkler. That's Toby Altizer. We're here with you on what is shaping up to be a weird, wacky Friday. Felt like Friday yesterday. Earlier in the week, Toby, you said like, I think on Tuesday, you said it felt like Wednesday. And you were right, dude. This whole week has felt like an extra day. Really weird.
Yeah, it really has.
Which I don't understand how that works since every week is like the same. Maybe it was the Brewers being on a Tuesday. That game was on a Tuesday. I'm just not used to major sporting events on a Tuesday. Except, of course, NXT 2.0 if you're into wrestling, right? Yeah, but it seemed weird. Weird, wacky Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. What the hell's today? Friday?
Friday, I think.
How was your drive in? Mine was awful. Everybody like had the wrong traffic pattern. I had this guy on my ass. Like he was inside me. And I thought that it was a cop. You know how when cops pull you over, they get right on you? It's like, okay, I get it, dude. You're right on. I get it. You're going to pull me over. And they like ride you for not, it's like 5 minutes. Like just pull me over already. So this guy was doing that to me and then he passes me and then he like slowed down and then I pass. I like, what is going on? I had a lot of that, a lot of herky jerky. I couldn't get a good flow coming in here today. And my day kind of, you know, I get up and I leave. I don't get up and make a delicious cup of coffee. I wait to get to work to have that. So my day, really, depending how my drive is, that's how my day is in. So now I'm in like a herky-jerky day. So it's kind of a weird, wacky Friday. I don't know what the hell's going on the roads today. So I'm all stop, start, stop, start. I still have the, you know, when our teams lose, like the Brewers did, I'm upset. But then I get the most upset when they should be playing again. So in the NFC Championship, I was upset that the Packers lost. But I really didn't get irritated and angry about it until the Super Bowl. Because then I'm watching the Super Bowl thinking, well, we should be there. It's the Super Bowl. So last night and Tuesday, I was bummed, very bummed. We've all been bummed. Claws down. But last night was Thursday when it could have been a game five. You know, a lot of you guys would have been at the ballpark. I selfishly would have been at the ballpark in a media capacity, which provides me great access if they win, you know, so I can be running around on the field. But I didn't get that opportunity. And a lot of us didn't get the opportunity to see the Brewers move on. And so that's why I started to get upset around like 7:30 last night when the game would have been over had the Brewers forced a game five to take on the Braves. So that's when I started to get upset. There was a very good game of baseball last night. For a while, the football and the baseball got really competitive at the same time. If you were flipping back and forth and trying to watch both of them, the Eagles eventually fall to the Buccaneers, 28-22. Buccaneers go up 28-7. Vita Vea's dancing on the sidelines. And when he started doing that, I'm like, maybe Eagles come back here. And these primetime games, we talked about it, these primetime games have been insane, and there's been comebacks, and there's been, you know, one-score games a lot of these things finish on. Well, the Eagles had a little bit of a comeback, but they ultimately did lose. Had to root for the Eagles. We got to start thinking one seed, right? We got to start thinking playoff position. But Tampa wins. And then the Dodgers and the Giants, and that game was so compelling because the Dodgers, they do the opener thing yesterday with their pitching staff. They started Corey Knebel. Corey Knebel, who's had a very good year and would have been a Brewer, but really they just couldn't afford to rehab him. I think he's making $4-5 million with the Giants, the Dodgers rather. Brewers couldn't afford that, to have a guy rehab and then come on late in the season, and the Dodgers could. You know, that's where the small market, big market thing comes in, and he started the game. Then they go with Graterol, another reliever, and then Urias, who should have been the starter, goes four innings in the middle of the game. They get into their bullpen. They move Jansen up an inning. Scherzer closes the game. So this is where, like, baseball provides itself the opportunities to be second-guessed with manager moves, like with Council. Everything he did is second-guessed because nothing ended up working. But Dave Roberts did it different last night in an elimination game as a big market club. Dave Roberts did it different last night, and it worked. So he's a genius. If one of those guys gives up, you know, a run, Urias gives up a run. He pitched four innings. He pitched well. The star of the night pitching-wise was Logan Webb. That guy's a stud. 24 years old for the Giants. But the Giants did it the normal way, where you have your starter go bulk, and then you go to the bullpen. Dodgers did everything crazy. They had an opener. They had a second opener. Then they used their starter. Then they go to their bullpen. Then they have their closer up an inning. Then they have their best pitcher close. So they did everything different. But it all worked. If none of it works, then he's an idiot. You see, it's not up to the manager makes the decision, but then it's not up to him if it works. Do you understand what I'm saying? The manager, Dave Roberts, made the decision to do the pitching this way last night. And if one of these guys, if one of the hits gets, because Corey Knebel, there was a hit that was to the warning track in that first inning. So if that goes out instead, Dave Roberts is an idiot. But since it died at the warning track, Dave Roberts is a genius. The margin of error is so slim that maybe managers shouldn't get a ton of credit, because I don't think they should get a lot of blame, I think is what I'm saying. They made the decision, but it's not up to them if it works or not. Well, they're not the ones pitching.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. And I go back to that Craig Council decision to pull out Freddie Peralta. We're obviously all mad about it because it didn't work. But what if he gets a hit there? Vogelbach gets a hit, hits a home run, and then the Brewers finish that off. We're all praising him for having the stones to pull out Freddie Peralta after only going four innings, right? I mean, That's how it goes. You're right. I mean, these managers have to make the decisions, and it all rides on the players. And that's why, you know, ultimately, I feel like it can't come down to, unless there's an egregious decision, for the most part, it's going to come down to the players. And I don't feel like so far this postseason there has been an egregious decision by a manager, just by the umpires.
Yeah, the umpires have been bad. And this game ends last night on a check swing. which a lot of people are upset about. And I don't think that the Giants still, even though it was a 2-1 game, Dodgers move on, of course, take the Braves. I don't think that Wilmer Flores, we weren't going to do anything.
No, he's not getting a hit, but come on. That's a terrible way to end a season. You got to be better than that.
Yeah, it's a check swing for Wilmer Flores. And not only was it a check swing, and the umpire doesn't make the call because that's not how it works. The first base umpire makes the call. So here you have a situation. Again, I go back to what I always say in baseball. There's so many plays that are dissected to the most minimal frame, right? The tiniest frame. You can't have one fingernail off of second base. It's gotta be, you gotta be on the base. Instant replay, right down to the tiniest milliframe. But then this game ended and the Giants season ended. Their 107-win season ended because an umpire made a judgment call who was 90 feet away from the action. It's weird. It's weird. He didn't go. I still don't think they would have won. But it's, how does a game end that way? A good game like this. So that's, again, all sports have this problem. We talk about with football, there's a lot of judgment calls. And then, you know, then 1 year Gene Steratore is trying to put a piece of paper between the football and the first down marker, which still doesn't make sense to me because there was room in between it and he gave the first down. If there was room in between it, it doesn't make sense. Basketball, block charge, judgment call. Yet we found out that Kevin Durant's toe was just slightly on the line. So the Bucks move on. It's just weird. Like every sport is half very, very, very meticulous, but it's also very, 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 well, I don't know. I think that he did go and I'm way over here. So game over. You know, to end a game like that is, it's a bad taste in your mouth, whether you're a Giants fan or just a baseball fan.
Well, and the thing that I'm sick of hearing is this play is not reviewable. Why not? I get that certain things can't be. I don't think, you know, balls and strikes can be reviewable and whatnot. But, I mean, a check swing, why isn't that reviewable? You go back to Urias' catch off the Omar bobble. Why isn't that reviewable? I mean, in football, why aren't certain plays reviewable? It just doesn't make any sense. Like, there needs to be, if you're going to have replay, you should use it for pretty much everything possible, except for maybe, like, pass interference.
Yeah, why is that the case? Why are so many things not reviewable?
Yeah, what was the thing the other day in the football game that was not reviewable that made whoever really mad? I can't remember, but it was a pretty big decision.
Yeah, I don't remember. It's just there's a lot of them.
Well, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, what's the point of having replay and you can see obviously that they got the call wrong and it's like, oh, it's not reviewable. We can't do anything about it. Why not? Oh, I think I'm just thinking of the Urias play and Snitker was mad and rightfully so. But why is that not reviewable? It just doesn't make sense. If you're going to use review, use it for pretty much as you possibly can down to the ultimate like judgment calls where it's like a pass interference or balls and strikes where sure, you know, you could review those things and maybe get those things right. But at the same point, that's also kind of part of the game. And I mean, you bring it up. That's part of every game. There's certain things that are going to ultimately come down to judgment calls, but I don't know what it is, but it just seems like over the past year and a half, 2 years, the officiating in every sport, whether it's the NBA, the NFL, the MLB, has just gone downhill to a point that every single game we watch, big or small, we're discussing the officiating. I mean, we're complaining about a taunting penalty in the Buccaneers-Eagles game last night. We're complaining about them taking 20 minutes to overturn an interception that I thought was an interception. It just doesn't make sense how we have all these things, that we have the people to train them, we have different things to get these referees to be at the top notch of their game, and it seems like none of them are.
Yeah, but I think the sport's like that. Because ultimately what you had last night was a 2-1 game in baseball, and in football you had a 28-22 game. If you get it perfect, you know, the bad umpires almost keep it close, and the bad officiating keeps it close. Football has found the recipe. Football's found the recipe where every game is competitive. Whether it's the umpires changing things or the talents distributed in a good way, football's found the recipe. Jerry tweets me a still shot of Wilmer Flores from the center field camera and says, if the bat is across the plate, strike. What is going on? It's just like the news. Ignore what you see. Just listen to what someone else tells you. Jerry, what are you doing? Look at the normal angle. If you're going to argue that this wasn't a check swing, then all hope is lost in America. He did not go. He did not swing. There's no way. I don't care what. There's no way that you have human eyeballs if you're seeing this as not a. He did not swing the bat. You're giving me a still frame that doesn't make any sense. I don't want to just argue with Twitter, but my goodness. Nobody, not one person in the world thinks that he swung. Not even Max Scherzer. And you're gonna screenshot me a camera angle that doesn't even show the play? Jerry, figure it out. Good morning. In the football game, 28-22. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I want Twitter open so I can get feedback and interact, but my God, what is this? So the Buccaneers went 28-22. You know what my biggest gripe about this game is last night? Well, first, that you and I both had Tampa minus the 7. But Joe Buck made a mention to that. We are in a gambling age. We are in a gambling age. And Joe Buck on the Buccaneers' final drive is like, oh, there's a lot of people that are interested in the score here. Just tell us why, then. You don't have to hide it anymore. Everyone gambles. Your pregame show, it's got the minus 340, the plus 820. You do Fox Bet. I got my app. I'm trying to win Terry's money. You don't have to be Al Michaels 15 years ago and be coy about it. Say, oh, well, the spread's 7, so if the Buccaneers score here, that would put... You don't have to be like, oh, well, Troy, only we know, but guess what? Hey, man, what are you doing? Come on. You're right, though. The Eagles are pretty terrible. Jalen Hurts is a good fantasy player because they go down big, and then Sirianni's like, all right, you can start running now. They don't run the football. They're bad. You're right. The Eagles are bad.
They're very bad. Yeah. And I mean, they should have been able to pass the ball last night because that is one of the worst passing defenses in the NFL, and you wouldn't have known it last night because Jalen Hurts couldn't complete a pass for his life. They finally cracked the 100 yards of offense mark in the second half there, right, when he completed a pass of 20 yards that accounted for a fifth of their offense at that point. I mean, good for you guys, but, I mean, you had everything in that game last night. You even have the analytics people thinking it's funny because Troy Aikman doesn't like that the Eagles went for two and they were down, what? They scored a touchdown to be down 8. They could have kicked a field goal to make it 7, an extra point. Instead, they go and go for 2 there and make it 28-22 and make a lot of people mad and a lot of people happy at the same point. But, I mean, you had everything in that game last night. I mean, it was – I wouldn't say it was a good game, but somehow the Eagles made it a game at the end because the Buccaneers, for the most part, dominated that football game, and the Eagles made it interesting late. But, I mean, the Eagles are so bad, just terrible.
There was like a 30-minute stretch where the baseball and the football was – very, very good at the same time. How did we do in our Thursday night fantasy plays?
Let me double check for you. I believe that I won.
How?
How do you mean how? I had Leonard Fournette.
Oh, God.
And yeah. You had Godwin and Evans. You did not pick Antonio Brown.
I didn't win. Did I have Hurts?
You had Jalen Hurts, Chris Godwin, and Mike Evans.
Lose.
I had Tom Brady, Leonard Fournette, and Devontae Smith.
Oh, all right. Never mind. Good job, Toby.
I had 50. You had 36.
So you're 4-2?
I am 4-2.
Ah, man.
Yeah, you get first pick next week.
Yeah. Every Thursday, we do a 3-round draft, and I always forget who I draft. I thought I drafted Fournette. You sure I didn't draft Fournette?
I'm 100% sure you didn't draft Fournette.
All right.
You were wavering on drafting Antonio Brown or Mike Evans, and you went with Mike Evans.
Oh, good. Good for me. Wow. Great. I'm so smart. 799-1250, 414-799-1250. Let's get Mike the Painter up here. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, Bart.
Good morning, Mike.
It is Packers Bears weekend.
Packers Bears weekend, man. Mike.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing Aaron Rodgers beat Justin Fields for his first Packers Bears game.
How many times must we take this disgrace? Another Bears fan throwing insults in our face. The Packers are the greatest team to ever play the game.
Even if I don't know if you've ever heard a radio station play this song on Packers Bears week, but we thought we'd try it. For those of you that don't know, this is called "The Bears Still Suck." Maybe you've heard it.
Never heard this one before.
Maybe you haven't. Sing it with me.
The Bears still suck.
The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck.
The Bears still suck.
They really, 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 really suck.
The Bears still suck.
Good job, Mike.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah. So, Rodgers, 20-5 against the Bears. You would think, that they would come up with an answer for that guy.
Well, there's not ever consistency there. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has been the constant for 13 years against Chicago, and they've been through different coordinators and quarterbacks. So many quarterbacks, he can't even name more than four of them. Here's a stat for you, Mike. Aaron Rodgers against the Bears in 26 career games, 105.3 passer rating. It's the highest mark against the Bears in league history.
He has
at least 100 passer rating in 12 of those games, and when he has 100 passer rating against Chicago, they're 12-0.
Yeah, and I see that happening again. I think him and Davante Adams are going to go off because they're going to get the red zone offense going again this week against the Bears, and I think it's going to be a fun game. I see us winning 31-17.
Yeah, see, I think there's a couple of things that lean me. I think the Bears look, like I said, about the schedule. You look at the Bears' schedule, and they lost to the Browns and the Rams, both on the road. And then they've beaten the Bengals, the Lions, and then they went to Las Vegas and won. And if that's something the Packers did, if the Packers season started that way, we'd be optimistic. We'd say, well, those two losses on the road, good teams, and we beat the Bengals, and we went to Las Vegas and won, so we'd be optimistic. And I think the Bears have reason to be optimistic, but when it comes down to it, Aaron Rodgers against the Bears is just too dominant, and he's just too good. And the Bears don't score a ton of points. They haven't scored more than 24 points all season. Packers score, at least 24 points outside of the Saints game. So the Bears are going to have to score 24 points to win this game and hold the Packers to under 24 with Aaron Rodgers, who's been so dominant. I think I don't want to jinx it, but this is almost
he got 50 touchdown passes against the Bears.
This is almost as much of a lock as you're going to see this weekend. I know, but I mean, how do the Bears shut down Aaron Rodgers? They've never done it.
Yeah, and they don't have
unless Shea Hillebrand injures him on a Monday night.
Oh, don't say that.
Well, that's what happened once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, didn't he get injured and come back and beat him in the first week of what season was that? Was that 2019 or 18?
He got injured. Oh yeah, that was the first year of Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went down 20-0.
Yeah, and then
that was a big Randall Cobb night.
Yeah, Rodgers came back out and dominated them.
Yeah, we thought the season was over in week one because Rodgers was hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. But, it's Rodgers' game to win.
Well, we'll have fun. We'll talk about it on Monday.
Yes, we will.
All right, Mike.
I'm going to go have a good day at work here, and you have a good day. And, Toby, you have a great day.
Say bye, Toby.
Bye, Mike.
See you, Mike.
You guys have a great day.
All right. Mike the Painter, 414-799-1250. We'll talk with Danny Parkins coming up, 670 The Score. And he's a very knowledgeable Bears person, but he's also very logical. The Bears can win this football game, but they also can't. I mean, they can, but they're not going to. John's in Franklin. And I hate doing that, but Aaron Rodgers against the Bears, I think that's all you need. Even when Rodgers gets hurt against the Bears, he comes back and beats them. What's up, John?
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Am I being too confident? I said it's the lock of the week.
Yes, you're absolutely being too confident.
Oh.
You know, I understand what everybody's saying and all these wonderful statistics that we have to reference are all, you know, they are what they are. They're true. We've owned this team for quite a while with, you know, the exception of a couple of games here and there. But that's all in the past. They're playing Sunday. And we got a defense that is shaky due to injury, possibly scheme, inability to execute the scheme or any of the number of reasons we're starting to hear. We got special teams, and I'm not even talking. I'm not worried about Crosby. I'm worried about coverage. I'm still waiting for the day we have a returner that puts his foot in the ground after catching the ball and runs it right up the middle like I watch all these other teams have, instead of this hesitation and looking to see where he can run and getting tackled, you know, on the 20 or the 19. I think we're going to win this game, but discounting the Bears' defense, that I think that's a mistake. Khalil Mack is a force. He's a force against any team. So we got to make sure we account for him. I don't know if Akeem Hicks is playing. The Packers, I think they're going to win this game, but to say it's the lock of the week, this is a 3-2 football team. This is not an 0-5 football team. Barty, I think you're taking them a little lightly here, aren't you?
Well, I just don't think they're going to put up more than 24 points, and I think it's Aaron Rodgers against the Bears.
Well, I hope we get things figured out in the red zone. We have lived for years by scoring touchdowns and having our opponents score, run hard between the 20s on our defense, but we kind of tighten things up and they kick field goals. That's how you win games in the NFL. I hope that's what happens Sunday. If the Packers can do that, they're going to win. But that's going to be kind of a change from where we're at right now. Cause right now our red zone defense and offense, they're struggling a little bit, and it'll be good to see if they can take some steps to turn that around.
All right. I'm going to adjust it. I'm going to say it's the near lock of the week as I'm looking at the week 6 scoreboard. The Chiefs going to Washington and beating them brutally is the lock of the week. Toby would even agree. That's 100%. The lock of the week. Chiefs beating Washington, lock of the week, and then I'll say Packers-Bears, almost lock of the week.
I'm not trying to change anybody's mind. I'm just...
I forgot the Chiefs played Washington.
This is just what it is for me, and I guess maybe this is also part of the reason why I'm not jumping off a bridge because of the Brewers, you know? You always have to measure your fandom, I guess, when it comes to Wisconsin sports. You got
it. Hey, John, you've been a little mellow here in the year 2021.
No.
You're getting a little older, a little wiser, maybe?
I'm definitely getting older. I don't know about getting wiser.
What happened to the young, fresh-faced John in Franklin that when I started, you were calling in, like, popping a vein every time you talk?
Hey, I wasn't too happy when the Cardinals came in and kicked our rear ends in our home field. I recall some ire there, and that still bothers me.
The most mad you've been, you were like more mad on the phone when the Jets beat the Packers in the preseason than you've been about the Brewers.
Well, yeah, and I also kind of lit the Packers up Monday because, you know, I was disappointed, not so much with the missed field goals, but the... Like I said, back to the red zone, offense and defense. And I finally heard, I think on the big show, they started talking a little bit about it. It's just like I don't understand why no one's talking about the fact that teams get in the red zone and they just score on us. I mean, frankly, it's embarrassing, and it needs to change.
Yeah. John, thanks for the call, buddy.
Have a great weekend, everybody. I'm out.
The Packers aren't the, you know, flawless team that I'm maybe making them out to be right here, but this is an instance against the Bears. I guess I don't take them seriously against the Packers. Bears are 3-2, and I think they deserve that record. But a couple of years ago, You know, I don't give you a lot of breakdown on Packers-Bears. Sometimes I don't need to. A couple of years ago, Brett Hundley was the quarterback, and Brett Hundley was terrible. So bad. And I said, lock of the week, Brett Hundley and the Packers beat Chicago. You know, people would say, well, give me more. I need more. I need another. I said, I can't. I just know. And they did. Because the Packers were bad, but the Bears were much worse. I don't know if you know this about the Bears, but after all this time, head coaching changes, quarterback changes, they still suck.
If you drive to Soldier Field, they make you pay a toll. For Christ's sake, they've only won one lousy Super Bowl. They make fun of Wisconsin, but we don't get upset. Where do you think they're headed every chance they get?
That's very true. Ah, it's very true. Chicago. Chicagoans. They got a vacation. Where do they go? Oh, we're going to Door County. Oh, are you? We're going to Lake Geneva. Oh, we got a beautiful home on Lake Geneva. Lake Geneva, Wisconsin? You're going to come up to Wisconsin? You like it up here? What do you like up here? You like the pace of living? You like the friendliness? You like the no tolls? I went for a walk the other day. I know, breaking news. But I found an iPass on the ground. It was like busted. I wonder if it still works. My wife told me to throw it away. I was going to just drive to Chicago and see if it would work.
We don't really hold a grudge, cause this is all in fun. As far as football rivalries, we're both number one.
Still, we wouldn't mind seeing Ditka run over by a truck, cause the Bears still suck.
And that's my favorite lyric in the song, as we're dissecting the song here on the fly. Well, we say all this stuff about Chicago and Illinois, but it's fun because our rivalry is great. That being said, we'd like Ditka to be murdered down in the highway. 414-799-1250. We'll talk Packers Bears with Danny Parkins of The Score coming up next.
The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. They really, 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 really,
all the ladies
really
now.
Suck. Yes, the Bears still suck.
All the ladies now.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, I could get close, probably. Jay Cutler.
One.
Kyle Orton.
Two.
Rex Grossman.
Three.
Oh. Mitch.
Four.
That's about it.
What did you say?
That's about it.
I just gave up.
Giving up. I got a meeting to go to, man. It's can't rack the memory banks. Actually, Tom, he already queued me up, so I know him. I just didn't want to show off.
Know what?
The other quarterbacks. Yeah, thank you. 16.
Aaron Rodgers asked how many quarterbacks that the Bears started since you were drafted. Can you name? He thought he could name a bunch. He named four. He named 25% of them. He forgot Brian Greasy, who's now on Monday Night Football. He forgot Todd Collins, Caleb Haney, Josh McCown, Toby's boy Jason Campbell, the great Jimmy Clausen, Matt Barkley, Brian Hoyer, Mike Glennon, edge rusher Chase Daniel, LOL, Nick Foles, and then Andy Dalton and Justin Fields here this year. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Toby Altizer, 414-799-1250. We'll take your Packers-Bears thoughts throughout the day. Still dissecting the end of this Brewers season as well, but it is Packers-Bears week, and we've got a lot to get to regarding that. Nick Costos, 820 today. We'll go over some picks with him, and then our good buddy Ryan Horvat to do the same in the 9 o'clock hour. This segment brought to you by Toby's buddies at Scrub-A-Dub Scrub Club. It's hard to say, but it's easy to use. You can wash your car every day if you want with the Scrub-A-Dub Scrub Club. It's one low price, starting at $13 a month. Get in on this Scrub Club at Scrub-A-Dub. The Scrub-A-Dub Scrub Club. At any local Scrub-A-Dub location, sign up at scrubadub.biz. So what we like to do from time to time is, hey, I can say these generalizations about the Bears, but we'll talk to someone who knows the Bears a little bit better than we do. Danny Parkins from 670 The Score. Parkins and Spiegel in the afternoon there. And you know where you can find that show as well is on the great Odyssey app.
An Odyssey station.
Yeah, they are. 670 The Score. They most certainly are. So I think the main question is regarding this team, as you look at the schedule, they're 3-2. They've had quarterback upheaval. No one knows what's going on. Are they good, Danny? Are the Bears, are they good?
Yeah, I think they are middle of the pack-ish. I mean, remember that they have never had a losing record under Matt Nagy. They were supposed to have the 20th pick in the last draft, but they traded up to 11 to draft Justin Fields. So they're not a bad team. They're just not a particularly deep team, but they are a great defensive team, right? They have stars on defense who are playing well. Khalil Mack is playing well. Roquan Smith is playing well. Robert Quinn is playing very well. The Bears lead the NFL in sacks, and Quinn and Mack are the top sack duo in the league. Jalon Johnson, their second-year corner, is playing very well. So they have stars at all three levels of the defense, which means they should, relatively speaking, be in every game. Now, they got blown out in the opener
against the Rams. It was the first game with a new defensive coordinator, and the Rams look like legitimate Super Bowl contenders. So that's not an embarrassing loss, but they did get blown out. And then in that Cleveland game, you know, Justin Fields got sacked 9 times, and that was the game that led to Matt Nagy giving up play calling for the second time in 2 years to Bill Lazor, because he let a rookie quarterback go out against Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett with Jason Peters and Jermaine Ifedi as his tackles, and he never kept in any extra protection for him. I mean, it was a suicidal game plan, and the Bears got killed. So those are the two losses, and otherwise they've been winning and competitive. So are they good? No, I think they're still a very limited team. They've had more rushing yards than passing yards in 4 consecutive games. That's not exactly a sustainable business model in the NFL in 2021, and I'd imagine that'll need to change against Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, their opponents, over the next couple of weeks. But they're competitive, and they're not an embarrassment, and they're playing a young, exciting rookie quarterback. So for now, we'll take it.
You know, you when you go to like a pool and it's a little too cold and you're not ready to jump in, eventually you're going to jump in and the water will be just fine and you'll have a good time. You're at a pool party. That's kind of what it's been like with Nagy and Fields. It's like eventually you're going to go to Fields, but he's like kind of not going to Fields and going to Fields. And then he like put his toe in the water and Fields scores a touchdown. Then he comes back out and he says, no, it's going to be Dalton. He's finally, it seems like he's in the pool. What finally pushed him in? Because it didn't seem like he was going to go in there on his own.
I think reality set in. You know, the idea was the Alex Smith, Pat Mahomes, Andy Reid model. But the problem was that Alex Smith was coming off of 3 double-digit win seasons, had been the Chiefs quarterback for 4 years. Pat Mahomes was coming out of an air raid offense in a Big 12 conference that had never produced an NFL quarterback of any merit to that point. And Justin Fields came from a pro-style offense in the Big Ten, college football playoff appearances and victories, 2-time Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year. And Andy Dalton had been a Bear 6 weeks longer than Justin Fields had. So the situations were not really comparable. And all that being said, for Matt Nagy's very complicated read and react, you know, spread West Coast hybrid offense, Andy Dalton was and probably still is better suited to run it, so he wanted to have Andy Dalton run the offense while Justin Fields learned. I disagreed, but plenty of people through NFL history have done it that way. So what changed was Andy Dalton got hurt, Justin Fields came in, the Browns' game plan, like I said, was that of a clinically insane person, but he got another week against Detroit. And he looked really good. And yeah, the Lions stink, and it was at home. But Justin Fields just did things in that game that Andy Dalton simply would not be able to, namely that he had 5 completions of over 20 air yards down the field. That's just been unheard of for the Bears, frankly, my entire life. So once Justin Fields showed that he could bounce back and wouldn't be rattled, shook, ruined, whatever, you know, term the veteran old guard of the NFL thought was going to happen to him, when he got sacked 9 times, and then he came out and he was just throwing the ball all over the field against the Lions, the evidence was just so overwhelming that he had to play him.
Talking with Danny Parkins, 670 The Score, part of the great Odyssey Network, the Odyssey app. Make sure you get that. I don't know if you guys know this. It's free to download and free to use. With Nagy, though, I think that, you know, while Bears fans might have been worried, okay, when are we going to get Fields, because Matt Nagy's, you know, kind of on his own planet here. Now the sentiment that I've heard from people is, well, we're not going to get the true unleashed best version of Justin Fields as long as Matt Nagy's still around. Is that a worthwhile complaint?
No, because Justin Fields is not ready for some sort of full unleashed version of himself. Like, patience. And it's hard for all of us that have never had a legitimate Bears quarterback for any sustained time in our lifetime. And that's not hyperbole. Like, that is accurate. Like, if you talk about who the best quarterback in the history of the Bears is, like, by some statistical measures, it's Mitch Trubisky. By others, it's Jay Cutler. And by some, it's Sid Luckman. Like, it's pretty bare bones around here. So we are very impatient and desperate for this sort of thing. But for me, it's incremental progress while continuing to show flashes of a superstar ceiling. That is what we need. In the game against the Lions, like I said, five completions down the field of over 20 air yards, that is elite. That will lead the NFL more weeks than not. Then the next game in Vegas wasn't spectacular by any stretch of the imagination, but impressive third and 11 conversion to Darnell Mooney late when the Raiders are staging a mini comeback. Impressive touchdown pass where he rolled out to his right, used his mobility, used his arm strength, threw to Jesper Horsted, who was covered in the end zone, and put it in a perfect place. Like, that type of throw on the run, impressive, high-level potential. As long as he keeps showing flashes like that more often than not and keeps developing, I'm fine with it. And the reality is, Bart, like, the game script eventually is not going to allow for the Bears to outrush their passer. And last week he had, you know, 20 pass attempts. The week before he had 17. Like, if the Packers come out and score on the Bears at will and are up 14-0 in the first quarter, Justin Fields is going to have to throw the ball 35 times. And then we'll start to be able to see what he's like as a fully formed passing NFL quarterback.
Well, I look at the Bears offense too, and you got a rookie quarterback and you're getting carries right now with a rookie running back as David Montgomery's out for a few weeks and Williams was a little banged up. The, you know, Allen Robinson's great, but they're still trying to find a true second guy next to him. If the Bears are going to win, I don't think they've put up more than 24 points yet this season. Can they put up 24 points against the Packers?
I mean, I think they can put up 24 points against the Packers. Their running game has been very impressive, and you were right to note that David Montgomery being out is a concern. Damian Williams was 5 yards per carry last week. Guard to guard, they're pretty good. James Daniels and Cody Whitehair are both second-round picks, and Sam Mustipher has been a revelation at center. So the interior of the offensive line is pretty good, and Bill Lazor is committed to running the football, and they completely pushed around the Raiders. Now, the Raiders aren't great by any stretch of the imagination, but they out-physicaled them. So in a game where there's no Za'Darius Smith, there's no Jair Alexander, there's no David Bakhtiari, and it's at Soldier Field, can the Bears be competitive and have their defense, you know, wreak some havoc on the Packers and play a game into the 20s and win? Yeah, I think it's possible. They're only a 4.5-point underdog. Like, this is not the best version of the Packers, but this is also by far, obviously, the best quarterback that they've faced. And Jaylon Johnson's really good, and we'll see if he ends up shadowing Devontae Adams. He says he wants to. He shadowed Odell Beckham a couple weeks back. Like, shadowing this version of Odell Beckham is one thing. Shadowing Devontae Adams is an entirely different thing. So the Packers will be able to move the ball and score against the Bears. The question will be, can they keep up?
You could talk me into, you know, the Bears. They're up and coming, and Fields and the Packers have some injuries. I can't take the Bears. I would take the Packers just on Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers is 8-1 in his last 9, 20 touchdowns, one interception. Because of Rodgers, how he does against the Bears, I can't even take the Bears to be close.
I get it. I completely understand. I'm not here making an argument that the Bears are going to win the game. I'm telling you what their blueprint is if they are going to win the game. But the best player on the field by far is number 12. It's Aaron Rodgers. But I will just say, Bears defense is real, man. Like, they are. This defense is playing great. And from what I've seen from the Packers, outside of Devontae Adams right now, Rodgers ain't really throwing to other people. And it's not being that successful right now. So if the Packers truly are one-dimensional, I think the Bears can have some success schematically against the Packers and just muddy it up and make it a little bit more uncomfortable for Aaron Rodgers than it normally is when he shreds the Bears. I mean, did you see that answer yesterday when they was like, you've played against 16 different Bears quarterbacks. Can you name them? He's like, yeah, I could probably get close. And then he named 4. He's like, oh yeah, I don't remember them. Yeah, because the guys that he didn't remember were like Caleb Haney and Matt Barkley and Jason Campbell. Like, it's been so non-competitive for so long in this rivalry that I'm hoping Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay for some AFC team after the year and Justin Fields can reign supreme for the next decade and a half and you cheeseheads can understand what we've gone through for a couple of generations.
Is that decade and a half going to be at Arlington Park? I don't know much about this proposed move. Do people like that? I would think it's bad.
People do like it. Soldier Field sucks. Soldier Field is impossible to get to because there's this thing called Lake Michigan to the east, so you can only access it from the west. There is no L stop there, so you cannot take Chicago's great public transit from the vast majority of the city to get there. There's very limited parking because of how small the lot is. It is not owned by the Bears. It is owned by the Chicago Park District. It's the second smallest stadium in the NFL. There is no roof, so they cannot host the Super Bowl. They cannot host the Final Four. It is oftentimes useless for a huge percentage of the year for many events. And Arlington Park, which the Bears put in a bid to buy and has been, you know, in the process of being accepted, is on 360 acres, which is bigger than even SoFi Stadium and the surrounding attractions in L.A. So the idea is, and there is a metro stop that goes right to Arlington Park, and so you'd be able to build plenty of parking. The idea is it would be convenient. There would be some sort of retractable roof. You'd have modern amenities. You'd have parking. You'd have hotel. You'd have restaurant. You'd have sports book, and you'd be able to have Final Fours and Super Bowls and WrestleManias and all the other things that you'd want to have at a big multi-purpose facility that would be more convenient to get in and out of. So that's the argument. That's the sell. The reality is, you know, it's not going to help the Bears be any more competitive because every team spends to a salary floor and a salary cap in the NFL. But I do think that the majority of Chicagoans believe that for a signature sporting arena and attraction, this city deserves something better than Soldier Field.
Danny Parkin, 670 The Score. Thank you for your time, sir, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bart, man. Be well.
Danny Parkin's on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're applying for a home renovation loan, you're a bit anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com today. Greatmidwestbank.com today. I'll be on with them today at 4:40. So I'll be on as long as I get up from my nap. It's been my problem. I do Rami's show Tuesdays at 4. And you would think that, oh, that's the time when pretty much everyone is awake. I can be the exception to that rule, but I should be able to be up and at Adam today. We'll talk some Brewers throughout the show today. A couple of different questions we threw out there on social media, including, was this season a success? And what's the one thing you'd want to for sure have the Brewers do this offseason? Some answers are move, leave town, sell the team. That I feel like is raw emotion coming out of you a little bit. The Bears breakdown is interesting. If they can stop Davante Adams, that changes everything. But nobody can stop Davante Adams is the problem. You know, if you're a Bears fan, you could look at that as some, you know, a way to attack the Packers. Because, yeah, Davante gets about half the targets when Rodgers drops back and throws. Why wouldn't he use Davante Adams? He's great. But they could use, and at some point they will need the Packers. They'll need other guys to step up. There was the game where Randall Cobb stepped up. That was great. And then he kind of faded back into the background. MVS, when he comes back, I think he'll be more involved. Alan Lazard from a passing attack, he's been more used as a blocker. Mercedes Lewis had a big screen grab the other day on a play-action screen. So they're still using guys. I don't think that Rodgers is Devontae or bust, but they could use other guys being more of a factor. And I think the main guy that I'm thinking of is who Ryan Wood proposed to us earlier in the week too, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette, and that's Robert Tonyan. I don't know, you know, last year this guy had 10 touchdowns, and he wasn't getting like 6, 7, 8 catches a game every game, but he was definitely more utilized in the passing game. He's an afterthought. I mean, he's been a complete afterthought right now. Josiah DeGuara pops up every now and then. Mercedes Lewis, I think, gets more targets. Tonyan, he is not a part of the offense that you thought he would be this season so far. So you'd like to see that change a little bit. Maybe this is the week that they'll have to do it. But
The Bears defense is good. I don't think their secondary is good enough to stop Davante Adams. There will be a pass rush. The Bears have 18 sacks on the season. It leads the league. The Packers offensive line, though, looks to be a little more healthy. We could see Jenkins and Myers back. And also, these guys that have been playing have been playing well. So, yeah, that will be a battle in the game. And you know that's what I'll be watching. God, do I love the trenches. So I'll be all over that, man. But I don't know. I think that the Packers have just the amount of weapons they have on offense, and I'm not sure what the Bears' offense can create. They're missing – David Montgomery is a huge blow. And now they're missing Damian Williams, who's on the COVID list. So they got to start Khalil Herbert and then Ryan Nall, who I picked up and I'm starting in our fan fantasy league because I'm so decimated at receiver and there are no other options. I am starting the Bears' backup running back, who is – Toby, you looked at me in disgust.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I don't have a choice. Here, let me tell you why I have to start Ryan Nall. Edwards-Helaire is on the IR, and I don't have any other backs. I have Cordell Patterson I use as a back. He's got a bye. So you say, all right, pick somebody up. Well, there's 14 teams in this league. I even went to pick up Stevenson from New England thinking that maybe he'll get the ball. But he was already scooped up. Should I have Larry Roundtree instead?
No.
Philip Lindsay? He doesn't run. He doesn't run.
These are all bad.
Gary Brightwell? Now I'm just making up names. Kylan Hill. What was the deal with him? I haven't talked about that yet. Kylan Hill got a play on the first series for the Packers last weekend. And then you're like, all right, maybe they'll factor him in the game plan a little bit. Nah, then he was just on special teams the rest of the night. I'm not sure what that was about. It is a Friday. We're talking Packers-Bears. We are continuing to eulogize the Brewers. They would have gone on to play the Dodgers. Dodgers win last night. You would have had games at Miller Park this weekend. Or whatever it is. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. I'm Bart. That's Toby. It's a Football Friday on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.